found that low water and electric use at the house Ramirez claimed as his residence showed he didn't really live in the district. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, Jefferson. We're bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Got a little sunshine going here today. And a little bit of ice on the grass. It was pretty cool. How's everybody doing? How you doing, Terry?
Doing fine. How you doing, Lynn?
Good. And Bob, our trusty soundboard operator guy. Here, what are you doing?
What? I don't know what I'm doing, but...
Sound like California.
I'm doing great.
Awesome. Good.
Good to see you guys.
Good to be seen. Thank you.
Even better to be heard.
Better to be heard, yes. Okay, Jefferson, we are going to uncover some more fun stuff that's going on here in Jefferson.
We will, and before we get to that, I want to let everybody know what we're doing tomorrow night at the Patriot meeting.
There you go.
We'll be having Eric Eisenhammer, and Eric is a public relations CEO. He also is the founder of the Coalition of Energy Users and an active nonprofit organization, and that's for access for affordable energy and quality jobs. Great guy. He is. He's helped people on campaigns. Very, very interesting man. He will be at 3276 Bocelli Lane at the Eagle's Nest Church tomorrow night at 6 p.m. And when? We also have our meeting at 5:30.
We do. We have our meeting at 5:30 for Jefferson. So anything, Jefferson, you want to find out, want to hear, get educated on, have questions, have opinions, have ideas, come share, find out what's going on.
We have a new thing we do that we've done for the last 3 weeks, and that is we have a thing called orientation. So, folks, if you're new to Jefferson or you want to get your questions answered, we will have sort of a 101 class, which we have from 5:30 to 6. And then once folks kind of get their feet on the ground a little bit, then we send them over to the other group, which is the action group. So if you're first coming in and you want to learn about what we do, what we've done, where we're going, and you want to get involved, you will go to the orientation class. And my friend Wynn Carpenter heads that up. It's been a lot of fun. We've gotten some great questions, and we've had about 8 to 10 people a week new coming into that class.
Minimum, yeah. And Chris has been a great help. He's been hosting that as well, and just getting the information out to people and answering their questions and getting them to understand what we're doing and how we're doing it. Everybody thinks we're just going to split the state. Well, it's not going to be that simple. We explain the process and what we have to do in order to get to where we want to be. So going from point A to point B and all the squiggly lines in between to get there. So it's a process, and we want everybody to understand the process so when they're out talking about it or they're just trying to wrap their head around it, they have a better idea of what's going on. And we like to do this. It makes it a lot easier on the folks coming because in that way they're getting the information that they desperately want. And we're having some great dialogue. We've had some really young people in there. We've had some older people in there. I mean, we cover the gamut. And people ask some great questions, and we have dialogue about it. And everybody gets to learn from each question answered, which is really nice because then sometimes it sparks other questions. And so it really helps for those folks to hear what's going on.
Well, and this morning we're going to have Bill Chappelle, who is a former Shasta County supervisor, call in. And Bill will be talking about SB 54, which is, of course, is the bill that basically creates a sanctuary state. Unbelievable what California does. And so, Bob, maybe what we ought to do is take an early break so that what we can do is when Bill calls in, we have some time for him because he's got about 20 minutes and that's it.
That would be good. We could do that. And just as a reminder, too, for tonight, we have our biweekly conference calls for Jefferson. So if you want to hear what's going on regarding Jefferson, you can call in and you can listen. You can't speak, but you could also do, if you want to do two things. Okay, the first thing is I'll give you the phone number, and it's 712-770-4114. And then once you get into the menu, it says it asks you for an access code. And the access code is 307-268-POUND. So, again, 712-770-4114. And then the access code is 307-268-POUND. And what it does is you can get in there and you can hear what's going on. You hear the dialogue about what we're talking about with Jefferson and the process, the court case, whatever we're talking about at the time, just getting people up to speed, Jefferson White. And you can also, while you're on the phone, you can also listen, you can be on the computer and you can go to the chat room. And so you can have dialogue, much like we do with the radio station here, where you can we can listen and talk to people over the radio and then also on the chat room. And you can have dialogue there, and we have moderators that are watching the chat room, so you can ask questions there, and if the moderators can get everything answered, they will do that, and they'll address the questions that are coming in while they're hosting the program. So if you want to make sure that you get your answers, get the answers that you are looking for to the questions about Jefferson, that's the place to go. And again, it happens biweekly, so the next one I think is March, I want to say 12th or something along those lines. So anyway, tonight is the night at 7 p.m., again, 712-770-4114, access code 307-268-POUND. And we strongly encourage everybody to get on board with that and hear what's going on.
Sounds great. And you can call in at 605-4567, 605-4567. And I believe we've got a couple people on the line, so what we'll do, if you guys could hold on real quick, we're going to take a quick break here, and we'll get right to you.
All right, thank you.
Did you know that California was never supposed to be just one state? Before the state was formed in 1850, there was discussion of forming three states instead of one. California has an area larger than seven East Coast states combined, and it takes 14 hours to drive from one end of the state to the other. California is simply too large to govern. Rural communities are being outvoted by more densely populated areas. The state of Jefferson is the solution. Please visit SOJ51.net to show your support.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. A corrupt and lawless government like California create laws that benefit themselves. How can we follow their example when the government who make the laws refuse to obey the laws they don't like? Understand this, laws are not made for the law-abiding, but for the lawless. So what happens when laws are deliberately made to make the law-abiding lawless? The Bible is clear. When man's laws contradict God's laws, we have no choice but to obey God. If you are looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth the ride.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
While serving in Iraq, Sergeant Jason Nielsen suffered a paralyzing injury. Paralyzed Veterans of America's service officers are trained to help injured veterans get all the benefits they've earned. To help paralyzed veterans, visit pva.org.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at KCNR1460.com.
Well, we're moving on now.
Moving on.
Just to get up that hill. Now we're up in the big league. Getting our turn at bat. As long as we live, it's you and me, baby. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Oh, yeah, we're moving on up.
All right, everybody, welcome back. We have Bill Chappelle on the line here, former supervisor and good friend. How you doing, Bill?
Doing good, Terry. How are you guys doing this morning?
Doing great. We're anxious to hear some of the things you found out about SB 54. You know, isn't it great the way California always adheres to the rule of law, right?
Yeah, well, I guess you guys know Siskiyou County, they also signed a resolution.
Yes,
so
sir, they did.
Right behind Tehama County on that.
Also, El Dorado County is going to, the Republican Central Committee, actually, of El Dorado County has asked to have the resolution drafted in El Dorado County, which is an interesting move.
You know, one of the things that when I keep reading this bill, this 54, you know, the contentious part about this whole bill is that they mix illegals, immigrants, and immigrants. So I should start off with immigrants, illegal immigrants, then illegal crime. People have created crime immigrants. And they fold that all into one mix like a big blender and blend it up and then spit it out. And the language is that we're going to threaten immigration. And I don't see where we're going to be threatening immigration or even the illegal immigration, providing they're not part of some sort of crimes. Other than the fact that maybe if they were a witness to a crime or something like that. But the way that they justify the bill is, to me, it's on the abstract side, or it's just false. I mean, you look at it either way you want to. Or if you want to say somewhere along the line of your geniality, we're all immigrants. And maybe that's the broad brush they're trying to paint this bill with, but it's bizarre because they talk about one in three Californians is foreign-born. Okay, so I've got a problem with that. I mean, I don't believe that that's a really good stat. And the other thing is one out of every two children is that basically it's a son or a daughter of an immigrant parent. And that's what they do on the side of this bill, which is 7284-2. That's how they're justifying this Senate Bill 54 to be passed, because that's what they're saying is what's happening.
Well, what's interesting, too, is Kevin DeLeon, who actually authored this, you know, has made comments on how half of his family are illegal immigrants. Well, where did they get their Social Security numbers? Where did they get all the information that they're using? I mean, it's just, to me, I mean, the rule of law makes no sense to California. It literally doesn't. And the real deal is the jurisdiction doesn't sit with the state anyway. The jurisdiction of immigration sits with the federal government, although you may get an argument from some attorneys from the ACLU using the argument you just brought up, which is, as you said, very broad-brushed.
Yeah, and I mean, it's you know, and then part of it is if you are, they don't want to threaten somebody if they were a witness to a crime. I would think that they may want to do that unless they're really worried about retaliation from a gang or something. You know, I mean, that's always a possibility there, and you're not going to get that witnesses anything anyways. But they're worried about if they're an immigrant and they're just seeking health care or health services or going to school or whatever else, or it just threatens the well-being of them, of all the Californians. And again, that's a broad brush statement. I mean, it says the well-being of all Californians, okay? And I think, you know, we just had that down in the L.A. area where that one guy got out on 57 and went and just the same day shot and killed his cousin, stole his car, got in a wreck and killed a police officer and wounded another one. And that's a different subject matter with a different proposition, but that's kind of like what we're living with in California right now. And to me, I mean, I can't understand where these guys' logic is coming from anymore. I don't know what they're drinking down there, but they need to quit.
Well, the thing is, I mean, you have a California legislative body that basically is allowing an initiative to go forward for leaving the United States of America, initiative number 16-0011. So really and truly, when you look at it, there is no rule of law. I mean, when you have an initiative that's basically talking about that the California Constitution is wrong, and the fact that California can separate, and the United States Constitution is not the law of the land. I mean, they're refuting those things. So it goes along with the insaneness that we have here, and again, is another good reason, as many good reasons, and they give us one every day, sometimes every hour, for the state of Jefferson.
Yeah. No, I think everything that's happening right now within the last 6 or so months is making the state of Jefferson just look to me way more positive, because it shows that we have no representation in Northern California. And I don't know how many people are aware of it, but we are controlled by the population in LA and San Francisco counties. That's who runs California. And they have a different mindset. I'm not for sure all the people live in there have that mindset, but the majority of them do, and they vote. We didn't vote on this Senate bill, and we didn't vote on 57, but it passes because they have that kind of control, and it continues to confirm that what Northern California is like. It's inert. It's non-existent in the state government. And it just solidifies the need for better representation. And if 51's it, 51 could be it.
Well, it's also like we did not vote for the fire tax either, yet we pay for it, and it goes to the general fund. So, you know, here we are. We're not having a choice on whether we want to embrace it or cast it aside, but yet we pay it.
Yeah,
and all the rural counties pay it. And as soon as they wrap their head around all that and figure it all out, that you would think that would be something of firing people up. But apparently it hasn't yet, for whatever reason.
Yes, it is. Part of this Senate bill, I just want to make it kind of clear that a civil immigration warrant, what that means is it's a warrant for a violation of a federal civil immigration law that includes civil immigration warrants entered into the National Crime Information Center. So anything that they have a warrant, and then part of this says and states, and I mean it states real clearly that shall not do any of the following, okay, and that means the state, the local law enforcement, any agencies, school police, security departments, or any universities. And they basically say that they're going to make arrest based on civil warrants. They're not going to do that. They're going to eliminate that. But they're going to use the agency or the department monies, facilities, property, equipment, and personnel investigation to interrogate, detain, detect, or arrest persons for immigration enforcement purposes, including but not limited to any of the following. So they're not going to, in other words, if they catch somebody and they think there's somebody, and we're talking illegal now. We're not even talking illegal immigrants. My understanding, there's nobody going to be knocking on the door, somebody that's been an illegal immigrant that's been here for a long time. If they haven't violated any laws, it's hands off. We're talking about the illegal people. And so they're not going to participate. And that, to me, what happens with that and some of these things that they've got in here, it takes the total validity out of our law enforcement. And that whole area is inert. It's just, you're not going to be able to do anything. And it's got the, the counties that see it, like Tehama, puts them in kind of a rock and a hard place, because what do? Do they accept federal funding or do they accept state funding? And I know I briefly talked to Larry Lees the other day, and he just doesn't want to get into the fight of insulting, you know, the state, Brown, and then end up with a war with him for maybe nothing, because what's going to come down, what's going to come down? And there's a good logic in that.
Hey, Bill.
Why get into a battle when you don't have to? But me, Bill Chappell, thinks just a little differently. I think that the reason why we have 51 is because we're upset with how our representation is. And I think when we get things that we see that's going to be harmful to our public, to our Shasta County public, we need to push back. If we don't push back and we stay in there and we don't put a voice behind it, we deserve what we get. So we need to push back, and we need to push back on this and say, no, for me, if I was still supervisor, I would vote for a sanctuary. We'd be a non-sanctuary county if I had the power to be able to do that.
Hey, Bill. Bill.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you want to explain to people who Larry Lees is?
Larry Lees. He's the CEO of Shasta County, chief financial officer.
So, is it going to take an act by some criminal, criminal alien? Meaning they're here illegal, and then they perform an illegal act against one of our sovereign citizens before anything changes within the county, either the Board of Supervisors or the CAO of the county. Is that what it's going to take?
Well, yeah. Yeah, but then when that happens, one, it's too late, right?
Exactly.
And two, if we're sanctuary, our hands are tied anyway. I mean,
don't you think our citizens here will get fired up, show up at the Board of Supervisors meeting or at their home and let them know, to be blunt, what the hell they think?
I think, well, you know, I mean, they're going to present it.
Right.
I don't know if Larry or Sally's presented or who all's going to present it on Tuesday.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I know Les Baugh, it looks to me like, I haven't personally called him yet, but it looks to me like he's the one that's pushing it.
Yes, he is.
Yes.
And he sees the responsibility. And I'm going to call it responsibility of a county supervisor, okay?
Right.
Because it's got to do with public safety.
Right.
We're not, when I said this broad brush, we're not putting illegal immigrants that have Social Security cards, they have driver's license, and they vote. We're not putting them in the same boat as we are immigrants that have committed a crime.
But wait a second. You just said illegal immigrants with Social Security cards.
That is a crime.
Yes, on multiple levels.
Yeah. But we're not, as long as they haven't committed a crime, okay?
That is a crime. But the other,
it's all a crime. It's illegal.
Sure. The thing is, there's no place.
So let's classify that maybe
the severity of the crime. Is that what you're looking
up
at?
Against somebody, or robbery, or shooting, or rape, or something like that. Because, yeah, all those that I mentioned are crimes, but they're okay with California now.
Well, we also don't have any place to put those guys. So this is really an out for us if we catch somebody like that and they committed a crime, no matter how small or how big, we can turn them over to ICE. And that's really something that I'm sure every sheriff that's clear thinking is wanting to do in Northern California.
Yeah.
Or we just fire them up and throw them into a van and take them down to Sacramento. And guess what? Drop them off the Capitol building and let them deal with it.
See if they're related to De Leon.
Yeah, there you go.
San Francisco and L.A. County would be a good area. San Francisco would be a good. Put them on Nancy Pelosi's doorstep.
But she's not home. We need to do it to somebody who's actually in their office at the Capitol, where the decisions are made, and choices are made on our behalf against us. So we need to drop them right there. It's not a personal thing. It's a professional thing. They need to act like professionals and do the right thing. And if we need to drop them there at their doorstep, then by gosh, we'd take them in there and do it.
Yep.
Anyway, buddy, really appreciate your time.
Well, we can go over some of this stuff if you want, if we got time, and if we don't, we don't. What they're not going to do is just crazy. I mean, they're not going to detain an individual on the basis or hold a hold request. So if ISIS has got a hold request, they're not going to hold them.
Okay.
They're going to let them go. and responding to our requests, just notifications of transfer requests. So if they get a transfer request from ISIS, they're not going to do that either. I mean, that's what the sanctuary city does. It takes our law enforcement out of the picture when it comes to a criminal illegal alien that actually committed some sort of a violent crime, I guess I got to say now, or a rape or something, or a robbery or a shooting or something.
Okay, now can these be linked to all the drama that's been happening in Shasta County with these abductions of women? Can these be related to that in some way? Nobody seems to have an idea or a handle on, or they're not telling us who's doing this.
Doing what? Now say that again.
The abductions that we've had of the poor ladies here in Shasta County, Trinity County, Siskiyou County, the abductions that have been happening this last year, over 2016 and even into 17. So are they related to those? And if they are, then by God, why not? Why aren't they stepping up and taking care of business?
It's a possibility. It's a possibility. You know, sex trafficking and everything you're talking about, I mean, it's been going on for a while, and we have been, and I don't even know when it started, to tell you the truth, but I know that we have not had the privilege of having that happen here anymore. I'm being facetious, saying privilege. But now it is happening, and a lot of that is done by the illegals because they take them, they farm them. They probably take them to a holding place, and that holding place takes them to Mexico or somewhere. But they probably are all illegal in doing that. Hmm. And, yeah, I know when we were living in Lodi, my wife had a van following her one day when she was walking.
And, oh, yeah.
She just walked into a house, walked up to a house and stuff. They turned around and followed her. And that's what they do. They have a van. They got the big side door. They have one guy driving. One guy jumps out, grabs them. I don't care if they're a little girl, has got a bicycle or whatever. They throw the whole thing in the van, take off, and you're gone. And it's quick.
Yeah.
Bill, we have David on the other line here. He has, David, you have a quick comment for Bill?
Well, yeah, I was going through the screening, so I wasn't. There were a couple of different things that I was going to ask. One was, were you just talking about a hazmat site? Asking the guest?
No.
No.
Okay, what's your next question, buddy?
Well, I heard you say something about barren ground and whatnot.
No.
All right.
Not on this program, but
no,
anyway.
Okay. Well, what I was really leading up to, there was a book written about 40 years ago called Ecotopia. And it was somewhat describing, you know, our current state of affairs, where the book kicks off by describing that America has been taken over by a whole bunch of corporations, and they've created their independent regions. You know, it might be a 10-state region, and so it's like the Empire of the North Midwest, you know, the southern states might be in two or three blocks. And so these corporations basically own America. And then in our region, Washington, Oregon, and Northern California break off into what's called Ecotopia. And so the various other sections of the country are living in horror and pollution and tyranny and whatnot. But we're basically fat and happy because we're smart enough to not poison our own waters. And so I'm just wondering if you're familiar with this book, and that it's my understanding that Jefferson, the state of Jefferson, somewhat got created with that in mind.
No, not even close.
Not
but
even
the
close.
Thing is,
nope.
Is California, as you know, and if you have been listening to the program, you know that initiative number 16-0011 is the prelude to wanting to separate from the United States of America. The state of Jefferson, David, wants to add a star to the flag, not take one off. Thank
right,
you for your
right.
comment. And, Bill,
yeah.
Do you have anything that you would like to finish up with?
I'll just read a couple more sections of this 7284. It's, you know, assisting the federal immigration authorities in the activities described in Section 1356, blah, blah, A and A 3 of Title 8 of the United States Code. So, right there, there's a federal violation, okay, because
yep.
they're not going to assist
yep.
the federal immigration. And in performing the functions of an immigration officer, whether pursuant to this section, it's the section, it's the same section, 1357, only it's G instead of A3. And there's another federal violation. So, I mean, it's just, this thing is, is full of, one, misinformation. Two, it's going to violate the federal regulations that we're supposed to fall under. And I honest to God, Terry, we've talked before. I don't know where these people come from. They're operating the state of California. I really don't. I mean, absolutely.
Too.
There's no common sense. There's nothing that wants to sit down trying to resolve a problem. All they've done in the last probably 5-6 years, and this is the heavy, they've done it for longer than that, but the heavy thing is they have really just destroyed the validity of California and the public safety aspect and the economic aspect. We have tons of businesses moving out of California. I mean, it's just, so what are they trying to do? I mean, it's like, is there a mission behind this stuff, or are these guys just living in la-la land? And, oh, that sounds good to me. Let's do that, you know.
Well, it's all part of their plan, is that as people evacuate the state, either businesses or businesses and individuals, people that are employed by these businesses, as they evacuate the state, they have fewer people to have to deal with and to control. So
that's correct. And also it is to add confusion.
It is. And so what they're doing,
this is get to more people we get in, the more they don't assimilate. We've got other people, the immigrants coming in, don't assimilate with America.
Well, and that's the thing, too.
And it just adds more and more confusion to the status. And even the Bible says it'll fail.
It's a Clive and Piven. You know, they cause chaos over on the left-hand side here. They got a bunch of chaos going over here. With the right hand, they're doing what they want to be doing. They're taking money. They're hiding money. They're doing stuff. They're
hiding. Carbs just hit $58 billion 2 years ago in the Delaware Corporation, and they can only account for 40% of the funds they take in. And we're paying 13 cents a gallon on sales tax right now on a gallon of gas. And we don't know where the money is, 60% of it.
And the same with the dam repairs and the bonds that refer the dams.
Yeah.
You think about all the money that is missing. And what it is my gut just tells me that they just built a war chest that California has, either by buying gold and silver with all this missing money, and they're setting it aside so when they do secede, if they ever are successful, which they won't, but if on their secession movement, they will have money to buy whatever it is they want to buy and control whatever they want to control with the money. Mm-hmm. So it's
special interest groups that get the money.
That's right.
Their buddies that they want to keep their agenda going and stuff like that. And I'm sure there's a ton of kickbacks going on.
That's right. Everybody's palms get greased because of all the garbage going on and seeing what's happening everything going on with Jefferson. That's why we're standing up for this.
I think it's a good idea. I just, that Gilmo was talking about Exit California, I think, if I could pick up the conversation at all. And I looked the stats up yesterday just for kind of curious how much federal land the government actually owns in California.
None.
45.3%.
They don't own any.
Federal government lands.
Yeah, they don't own any.
They manage it.
They manage. I understand that.
They don't.
I was under their auspices, and they own you.
Yeah. Well, no. that's what I want to make sure that people understand.
It's a nice thought to think it's a public lands, but believe me, they think it's their property.
Well, and that's the problem in a nutshell. I want to make sure that people understand that. So when someone says that they own the land, they do not. It's managed by the BLM or other federal agencies, but it is owned by the state in which it is. So people have to understand that, and I want to make sure people do understand that.
I think my point is that if that's federal land, what's going to happen to it if the state tries to go to its own country? Are they just going to let them release that land to them? I don't think so.
What's going to happen? Right. Here's what happens. Let me explain to you exactly what happens very quickly. And Dave, hang in there with us. We've got Dave Tishnell, I believe, from Tuolumne. Hang with us, buddy. What happens, Bill, is basically BLM doesn't have any land. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17 of the United States Constitution states clearly that the federal government has jurisdiction over 10 square miles. At the time, they didn't know it was going to be Washington, D.C., but that's what they have jurisdiction over. End of sentence. Of course, they forts, magazines, and ports, but that is only at the blessing of the state, number one. Number
Correct.
Two, when Jefferson becomes a state, we will fall into the equal footing doctrine, which means we are in the equal footing of the original 13 states. How much BLM land was there?
Zero.
How much federal land was there?
Zero.
How much federal control was there of water?
Zero.
So when I talked to a certain senator, I said, really and truly, the equal footing doctrine is the elephant in the room, isn't it? And he agreed to that. So when we get our state, a lot of that will be not a moot issue, but it'll be a position to where we will certainly have a stronger negotiation point than we do now with California. But hold on, Bill. I've got to go to Dave Tichenel, our friend from Tuolumne County. Dave, are you there, buddy?
I am here. Good morning, Jefferson.
Good morning, hey, Dave.
What you got, buddy?
Oh, I wanted to let you guys know that we had a fundraiser in Tuolumne County last night. We held it at the Motherlode Fairgrounds. It was an event that we started planning about 2.5 months ago, right before the Christmas holiday. We got the idea that maybe we could pull it off. We have a pretty good team in Tuolumne County, but we decided to team up with Calaveras County as well. And Calaveras County and Tuolumne County share a prison called the Sierra Conservation Center. And for some reason, a whole bunch of people from that prison are big Jefferson supporters, and they decided to really get behind this fundraiser. So we were at no lack of volunteers and people to go out there and get the job done. So last night was the culmination of a couple of months' worth of work. We also have a company down here called Diestel Turkey, and Diestel's is pretty well known in these areas. They grow a very fine bird, free-range, organic-grown bird that they sell to Whole Foods and other top markets, but they also sell it into Save Marts and stuff like that now, so they're a very good growing company. And they said we could have all the meat we could use for the fundraiser, so we decided to make it a big turkey dinner with all the trimmings and everything. And that was cooked by a good friend of mine from my grammar school days. He now does cooking for large events, and he did a great job on that, and a bunch of other really good volunteers in the kitchen. And then we had a group of people that went out and got donations from businesses. Now, it actually kind of surprised me just how much support we have with the businesses in Tuolumne and Calaveras County. They donated lots and lots of great stuff. So we had live auction items, silent auction items, raffle items, door prizes. A Second Amendment raffle was held. And so I'll just cut to the chase here. At the end of the night last night, we had brought in a little more than $14,000 through the door. And then coupled with all the pre-sales of the rifle raffle and the dinner ticket sales and some other things that we had going on, we are going to be sending a check to the State of Jefferson Legal Formation Fund of just a little north of $20,000.
Wow.
Wow, you guys are awesome.
That's amazing. Yeah, there's Leah and Mark and, you know, and Ann and all you
Mark
people.
Mark Banks, Joe Bick.
Oh, and, yeah.
Brett Murphy.
Oh, yeah. People. What a great group of people. And, Dave, I want to thank you personally, buddy. You've been such a help. You know, Dave is one of these people who stepped up. And, you know, I remember one time you and I had a talk, and you said, boy, you know, I'm out here doing my best and stuff, but I got a few things wrong. And I said, hey, you know what, buddy? You've got the courage to go out there and do what you've been doing. And, Dave, you know, you and Leah, I mean, we should make a new program, not Leave It to Beaver, but Leave It to Leah, you know? I mean, that little gal, you talk about a fireball, and Brett and Ann and, you know, Kathy from Amador, all you guys down there. God bless you, and thanks for calling in, and we'll get to hear some of this on the call tonight, right?
Yep, I'll be there on the call tonight, and I'll give a little bit more details.
Okay, and see if you get Leah on there, too. That'd be great.
I will do that. God bless everybody in the state of Jefferson, and thank you guys for having the radio show.
All right,
my
friend.
Thank you, Dave.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bill, are you there, buddy?
Yes, sir.
Oh, good. Okay. Isn't that great? Those guys down there, those tri-counties down there, Amador, Tuolumne, and Calaveras, man, I am telling you, those are go-getting people, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Great, solid,
good, yeah.
Solid to the core people, and they do it all right.
You know, they had an interesting thing happen down there with Indivisible, which, as you know, is basically the CalExit people. And these folks were down there, and it's funny because what the Indivisible folks have been trying to do is to position themselves by saying they're like the Tea Party. Well, actually, the Tea Party really isn't known for rallies and stuff, as much as they're known for how they changed legislation in 2010 mm-hmm. and 2016, and especially in 2010, when, in essence, you know, there was a special election, and here... you know, Scott Brown, who was just completely unknown, ran against an incumbent, you know, in a state that in Massachusetts, in a state where a Republican never wins or hadn't won for 50 years. And because of the Tea Party, he won. You know, and as you go right down the line, it's just like, you know, you go right down the line and you look at what the Tea Party did. what they did is they established a position of getting people into office, governors, assemblymen in states, senators in states, senators in the United States government, et cetera, et cetera. And so I'm trying to figure out how in the world there's any kind of correlation between just activism and rallies and burning things and all that that Indivisible's doing, especially prevalent here in California, another good reason for the state of Jefferson, because what's going to happen is five members of Congress have now been taken into Trump's, Trump's cabinet, which means there's going to be special elections. Well, good luck, Indivisible, in trying to win in Montana, Alabama, Kansas, Georgia, and South Carolina. Ain't going to happen. You know, so really and truly, this fluff, what's the purpose of Indivisible, other than trying to emulate something with no purpose or no cause? You know, what was it? If you want to annoy a liberal, just use common sense and logic.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
That's my rant for the day.
You know, I got to mention Kevin DeLong. So if anybody wants to throw darts at him, they got the choice of doing that. He's a senator out of L.A. area. I can't remember what
Senate pro tem. He's
out of, but
he's the boss.
He's
the boss.
Are put together 54. You know what I mean? And it prevents agencies from collect. This is just to round it off a little bit, from collecting information on people of their legal status, are from responding to certain requests from the federal agencies for information, such as phone numbers, working place, deals, things like that, Social Security. So they can't even give that information out. So if ICE or somebody's got something that they're looking for, somebody they're looking for, they get zero from the local law enforcement. And that just sounds illegal to me.
Hey, Bill, we've got to get off to our last break here real quick. And so, and then can you hold on for us? Can you stay with us? Are you late for church or what? You can stay, yes. All right, 605-4567, 605-4567. Time has come for 51. But hidden in his coat is a red right hand.
Self-respect, you feel like an insect. Well, don't you worry, buddy, cause here he comes through the ghettos and the barrio and the barry and the slum. His shadow is cast wherever he stands. Stacks of green paper in his red right hand.
Did you know that Article 4, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution lays out the framework for the state of Jefferson's plan to split California? A state can be formed from the land within another state if the state legislature and Congress approve it with a simple majority vote. 51% is all it takes. Your vote doesn't count in Northern California. California is broken and the time has come for 51. Please visit SOJ51.net and donate now to show your support.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. A corrupt and lawless government, like California, create laws that benefit themselves. How can we follow their example when the government who make the laws refuse to obey the laws they don't like? Understand this, laws are not made for the law-abiding, but for the lawless. So what happens when laws are deliberately made to make the law-abiding lawless? The Bible is clear. When man's laws contradict God's laws, we have no choice but to obey God. If you are looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth the ride.
Orchard Nutrition Center knows that your time is valuable. Now you can place your deli order online, and we'll have it ready when you're ready. Visit Orchard Nutrition Center's Facebook page and click on the Use App button. From there, you can select to order delicious deli items such as deli cheeses, meats, a variety of fresh-made salads, or you can select to build your own custom deli sandwich. Choose from a variety of freshly baked breads. Add your favorite cheese, meat, condiments. And don't forget to add your favorite veggies. And if you'd like to add some extras, that's okay. Create your sandwich your way. And now you can pay online with our secure online checkout, and your order will be ready in 30 minutes. Whether a single item or a large order for your office or family, skip the checkout lines and log on to Orchard Nutrition Center on Facebook at OrchardNutrition.com or download the Orchard Nutrition Center app from Google Play or the App Store. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at KCNR1460.com.
Hit the sky pole and it crumbles. We will stand tall, I'll face it all. Together hit the sky pole. When it crumbles, we will stand tall, I'll face it all. Together at sky pole.
Hey, we're back. Okay.
And the sky is falling.
Who sings that song, Bob?
Adele.
That's Adele.
Oh. Is that good or what?
Yeah, she's awesome. Great voice.
Anyway, I wanted to say a couple of things very quickly about my good friend Mark Kent, who's coming up on the next hour. Yeah, on Sovereign Minds. Yesterday, Mark, if he should have the Purple Heart and the Medal of Honor. He sat in a meeting, and this meeting was he was on a panel talking about how the Trump administration would affect the economy. And really and truly, when you're talking about the economy, Mark's an expert. And the other two gentlemen that were there, the one in the middle, I think he's alive. The other one on the end, we couldn't hear much of him because he never raised his head when he spoke. But it was really something to hear the liberal diatribe that Mark had to go through. And really and truly, you know, our hats are off to Mark. I sure hope he talks about what happened yesterday, but great job, my friend, if you're out there. And I hope you talk about that when you get on Sovereign Minds, because that was just a very, very good very, very good position you took on everything. Really impressive. Anyway, getting back to our guest, Bill Chappell. Are you there, buddy?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Are you going to get on the call tonight? Because Wynn has information about the call we're having tonight with the state of Jefferson, and he's going to give that information one more time.
All right. To get on the conference call at 7 p.m. tonight, dial 712-770-4114, and then the access code is 307-268-pound. Again, the phone number is 712-770-4114, and the access code is 307-268-pound. And you can also go onto the chat room at the same time, so you can be on the phone listening to the call. You can be on the chat room and see what people are talking about within the chat room during that same course of time. And the moderators that are running the program will pull questions out of the chat room as long as time allows, and they can get stuff done, and it's applicable to what's going on with Jefferson. So just know that there are great ways of getting there to communicate and to learn, to understand what's going on, hear it firsthand, and maybe spark some help in getting this thing moving. And it's a good way for people to connect. And you don't have to be just connected with your own little bubble of, you know, Redding or Shasta County or, you know, Tuolumne County or whatever. You can connect from Redding to Tuolumne and vice versa. I mean, we connect with everybody all over. And it's great to do that because we have a lot of great listeners all throughout the Jefferson Territory. So I encourage everybody to do that at 7 o'clock tonight.
Yeah, Bill, it would be great if you and Kay could get on that call, get on the chat room, and
That's 712-770-4114, right?
Correct. And then the access.
And then what time is that?
7 o'clock.
And he needs to give you the access code.
And the access code, once you get into the menu after dialing that number, the access code is 307-268.
Okay, say that again. I didn't quite pick it up.
307.
Okay, 307.
268, and then you hit the pound sign after that number.
And remember to dial a 1 before you dial the phone number.
Yeah.
Right. Cool.
Do you have any closing comments, my friend? We have about 3-4 minutes left, so if you got some closing comments, we'd sure like to hear them. And anything else you got in your quiver there?
Oh, okay. So, anyways, I'm just going to get back to this fine Senate bill, and it basically, you got to remember that it starts off with what they're not going to do. Okay, and they are. I think I lost my place here for a second. They're not going to provide and responding to requests from non-public available personnel information about an individual, including but not limited to information about the person's release, home date, work address, anything like that. I always said that once before, but are making arrests on the civil immigration warrants, which is similar to the immigration warrants. This is every man's home, it's his castle, so you're going to have to keep that away. You know, going to keep that. They talk about in where they are actually justifying all this stuff is how it is against the Constitution. And I'm just wondering what Constitution they're talking about, because the state. So this is what, these are the arguments for this California Values Act, and the state and local participants in federal immigration enforcement program who raise constitutional concerns. So are they talking state or federal? I'm not for sure, including the prospect that the California residents could be detained or in violation of the Fourth Amendment, which every man's house is his castle. He's not supposed to violate that, to the United States Constitution, targeting on the basis that the United States Constitution is the Fourth Amendment, targeting on the basis of race or ethnicity in violation of the Equal Protection Clause, or deny access to education based on immigration status. That's what they're saying is why they have to pass this bill, because these things are happening. And there's a lot of falseness in this argument why they, in other words, for me, I don't believe half of what they're saying in the argument for this bill is even true. But that's what they do. So let's confuse the people with confusion, and tell them how good it's going to be on the other end, right?
Yeah, the thing is, too, is that when you look at our counties and you know, hats off to the supervisors who are putting this resolution forward, but we have come so far that we have to have a resolution for us to have justification against something that's unconstitutional. And there's no jurisdiction for them to even be a sanctuary state. There's not even jurisdiction for that.
No.
Let me just finish my thought, because what that falls into is that falls into the other part of connecting that dot is the California Nationhood Initiative Constitutional Amendment. That's the deal. The deal is that California wants to leave the United States. California wants to leave and create their own country. State of Jefferson wants to be a state in this United States that we love, the country we love. That's what we want. We want to add a star to the flag, not take one off. If they take one off, we'll just be number 50.
There you go.
Right.
We'll dust it off and take care of it.
And the thing is that, you know, I mean, this puts the counties in a rock and hard place too. I mean, you know, you can worry about retaliation from the state. You know, I mean, Sacramento, or you can worry about retaliation from the Washington D.C. the feds. I mean, what's the best alternative? None. Zero.
Well, Dave,
it's crazy.
Well, Bill, keep in mind that, you know, during the course of this last year, our conservative president came and landed in Reading. There must have been a reason he came and landed in Reading. His team doesn't do anything without a purpose and without a reason. So we're already on their calendar for many things. So as long as we pull our boots up and start and fight the fight and do what's right, we will get support from the feds. And as long as our board of supervisors realize that and stick to it. And know that they're going to have to do that. And if they have to fight California to get there, fight them. They need to do the right thing. They need to interpose for their citizens. They need to make sure that they do that and stand in there and fight the fight because they have the jurisdiction of Shasta County.
That's right. Now,
that's right. You know what? That's a very good point.
We got 30 seconds, Bill.
Okay, he didn't land in Redding on an arbitrary basis. Oh, I think I'll go to Reno. That, like you said, that's all by design. And there was a, that was purposeful. So that's a very good point. And I think we need to continue with that idea that he's looking at Redding for what it is, and he knows what it is. It's red. And I think we need to protect.
All righty.
Acknowledgement.
Bill, thank you so much, buddy. They're taking us off here. Time has come for 51. Stay tuned for Sovereign Minds.
On KCNR, Shasta Redding.
Jeff Sessions should consider withdrawing from the FBI's investigation into Russian interference in the election so an independent counsel could be named. Arkansas Republican Senator Tom Cotton says no.
There's no allegations of any crime occurring. There's not even an indication that there's criminal investigations underway by the FBI as opposed to counterintelligence investigations, which the FBI conducts all the time as our main counterintelligence bureau. If we get down that road, that's a decision that's in, or that Attorney General Sessions can make at the time.
He was a guest on NBC TV's Meet the Press program. Deputy White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders tells ABC TV's This Week that congressional committees need to complete their